Welcome to the broadcast of Exceedingly Abundant Ministries in cooperation with Bethel Worship Center of Joplin, Missouri. Their goal is to win the lost, disciple Christians, set the captives free, and see the sick made whole. Bethel Worship Center is located at 3125 West 20th Street in Joplin. Weekly service times are Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and a Wednesday evening Bible study at 6:30 p.m. For more information, visit their website at betheljoplin.org. Now, here is Pastor Gary Culp with today's message.
Well, good afternoon. The Lord bless you. What do we know for sure? God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Let's pray for some souls. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, we want everyone to go to heaven. So we're crying out for the eternal salvation of every boy and girl, man and woman in Missouri, Kansas, Oklahoma, and Arkansas. We're praying for their past, present, future spouses, all the children they have now and in the future and their family members, all grandchildren they have now and the future and their family members, all great-grandchildren they have now and the future and their family members. By faith, we're sending the Holy Spirit to convict every person of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Lord Jesus, make yourself alive and real to each person. May they truly understand your incarnation, your perfect life, the great miracles you did, your death, burial, and resurrection, your precious atoning blood, the revelation, understanding that by your stripes we were healed, would come to every boy and girl, man and woman. And Lord, they'd humble themselves before you, repent of their sins, receive you, Lord Jesus, as Savior and Lord, being gloriously born again from above. And then, Father, you'd get every person into a good Bible-believing teaching church. They would then be baptized in water. Every Christian would receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Every Christian would become a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're crying out for every demon possessed, demonized, and captive to be set free, and all the sick to be healed from every sickness and every disease. And yes, Lord, your people to receive and to walk in financial abundance, prosperity, debt cancellation of their debts, the full blessing of Abraham, whom God blessed in all things. And we agree for that right now, and by faith we thank you for it. Also, Father, we love the Jewish people so much. We want them to go to heaven, too. We cry out and agree that the scales and blinders are being removed from their hearts and minds. They are seeing that Jesus Christ is their Messiah, Savior, and Lord, and they're being born again from above. We agree right now, Father, and pray according to your word for the peace of Jerusalem, Father. Give Israel complete victory over all their enemies. Father, help them to completely wipe out forever Hezbollah, ISIS, Hamas, Father God. Take them out literally, and they would never be able to return again. We agree right now, Father, that they have title deed to all the land of Canaan. And Father, you've given the understanding that's 36 times the land, amount of land they have right now. And we thank you for that. Lord, grant them that land. May they get it all back. And we agree, Father, that there will be no two-state solution ever. That's from the pit of hell, and that brings the curse for those leaders, those churches, and any nation that tries to get them to divide their land. So, Father, we agree it's not going to happen, and they have title deed, like you said, to all the land of Canaan. So we bless them, and Lord, give it all to them, and help us to support them in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. We're going to be talking about being in health, but we still need to pray for some things. You know, I just got back from a Prophecy Watchers conference in Orlando, Florida. Oh, was it beautiful. Mercy sakes. Awesome. Learned so many good things, which we'll be over the next few weeks sharing. But also, we just see that there's things going on that are a real danger that would be terrible if it were to happen now. And so we're praying against it. So let's continue to pray a little bit more. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Father, we're coming against the digital currency in Jesus' name. This wicked idea of Satan and his kingdom, of the WEF, of Joe Biden and the Fed. We agree these plans are being sent into confusion and derision. They would absolutely be able to find no agreement whatsoever. We agree, Father, you're spoiling and ruining those plans, and we decree there'll be no digital currency until after the rapture of the church, and we'll be able to have our dollar bills and spend cash until that time. And we thank you for it. Also, Father God, please secure our borders, Father God. Father, we come against and pray, Father, you would protect us from the 12 sleeper cells you showed Chris Reed in the dream. We pray you would protect us, Father, from all the terrorists who have vans and bombs that are going to big cities and going to parking garages and setting them off and blowing up and killing people. We come against that. We cry out to you, Father, that every pedophile, every drug dealer, every sexual cartel person, every prison foreign soldier and terrorist that has come across the borders to do evil is being exposed, and whether it be through law enforcement or angelic hosts, they're being driven out of this country, and you're not going to let them do and bring terrorism to America, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Also, Father God, we pray that you protect our electricity, our gas, our oil, our coal, Father God. Don't let anybody shut these down or destroy our power grid. We agree there'll be no EMPs whatsoever. And Father, we pray and decree in 2024, Father, the Keystone Pipeline is going to be opened again. We decree there's going to be more oil wells dug. There's going to be more coal mines. And Father, thank you that fossil fuels are a blessing of the Lord, and you expect us to use them here in this country. And Father, remove from the place of authority all those who are trying to get us, to keep us from using the very resources you blessed America with, Father. And we agree for that right now in Jesus' name. And also, Father God, we pray for our farmlands, Father God. We pray for our water tables. We know there's been threats there, Father. Don't let anyone poison our water tables, our wells, or our city water, Father. If they try to do it, stop them, Father. Do whatever you have to do that they can't do that. And protect our farms, Father God. May all the farms get into American hands. And Father, every foreign country that has land in America, you would take it away from them and give them to godly, born-again, spirit-filled men and women who'll grow crops for the glory of God to feed our nation and even have more food to send around the world. And we're agreeing for that right now. And Father, please don't let there be any more mRNA material put into our food, water, plants, and animals. Protect us, Father God. Stop the chemtrails, Father. Just wicked, evil people are trying to destroy America, Father. Stop their evil deeds, protect us, and show us what we need to do to be ready for the soon rapture of the church. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. All right, we are going to start out in 3 John, verses 1 through 4. We're going to talk about being in health. Not just get healed, but be in health. Walk in divine health and wholeness. That is the will of God. That is the provision of God. And that is part of our salvation. Healing is the children's bread. You know, I told you my wife had a dream a few weeks back, the Lord showing her things about the future. And again, there were good things concerning those who are walking with Jesus. He will be our protection and meet our needs. And at some point, I'll share more about that. But I'd say if there was one negative thing that is sad, but we just understand that's just the way it is. The Lord has said there will be no reprieve. In other words, these storms that are gathering are going to come, and they're going to keep coming. Not as only is God bringing judgment, but he is going to allow a certain amount of evil people to do evil, wicked things. You know, you want to give you an old time saying, the chickens are coming home to roost. Now, the good news is when God shows us what those things we need to be specifically prayed for, we will let you know so you can be ready, get your family ready, get your church ready. But there are certain judgments that are going to come no matter what you pray, do, or think, or speak. God has said, it's time. Remember, God is long-suffering. He gives years for people to repent for wicked sins. And this nation has completely departed from God. We're not protecting our borders. Immorality is rampant. People don't even seem to know right from wrong. You know there are just two genders, right? Male and female. And if anyone tries to tell you different, they're insane. Do you understand that? They probably got a demon. So pray for their salvation. If God would use you to set them free, do it. I mean, the very simple understanding that anybody with a sound mind has, everything they are trying to do. They call it gaslighting. Learn a lot of interesting things about gaslighting. Our government is gaslighting us. So you look that up, and I think you'll begin to understand the things they're trying to tell us are right or wrong. And remember, the Lord warned us in Isaiah 5:20, when they begin to call good evil and evil good, you know, judgment is coming. But also the good news, born again believer, Jesus is coming soon. And I want to ask you, are you ready? Is your family ready? Are your relatives ready? Better be praying for and witnessing to them, because the rapture is going to happen very, very soon. And the storms are coming. Okay. And, you know, sad to say, there are people in high places who want the storms, who are planning the storms, who can't wait. They're giddy about the destruction of America. So just understand that. 3 John verses 1 through 4. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. Okay? It's good to get healed, but it's better to walk in health. Amen? Even as thy soul prospers, as thy mind, will, emotions prospers. And if you know, if you're not well in your head, you're probably not going to be well in your body very long. Do you understand that? Okay, we'll talk about that in a minute. For I rejoice greatly that when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. But you can't walk in the truth if you don't know what the truth is. While Jesus say in John 8, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth is God and His Word. And you better be in God and His Word, because the big thing in the world today and in the United States is the lie. Getting you to believe the lie, embrace the lie, speak the lie. So that's, if you're not a born-again believer and have the Holy Spirit, you have no hope. You have no hope. You'll take that mark of the beast, and you're going to be tormented in hell. And if you live during the tribulation, those sealed trumpet judgment, bold judgments are going to fall on your head. So you're going to experience hell on earth, and they're going to die and go to hell. God done that once for you. That's why Jesus died for you. Get saved. Get right with Jesus. Get filled with the Spirit of God. Ask the Lord for the spiritual discernment, and you'll make it. Okay? Verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. So it's not just sufficient to know the truth. God expects us to walk in the truth. Remember three good words of the Christian life: faith, obedience, and love. Well, does Jesus want us well? Let's look back for a few minutes at Jesus' ministry. We'll begin in Luke chapter 4, verse 40 and 41. Now when the sun was setting, all that had any who were sick with various diseases brought them unto him is Jesus, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. How many did he heal? He healed every one of them. Notice in this case, he didn't always do it the same way. He laid hands on them. Okay, as a result of that, what also happened? Verse 41, and demons also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, did not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. You know, even the demons know Jesus is the eternal Son of God. You know, there's all those false religions that don't understand that. But again, that's why they're a false religion, right? But how many did Jesus heal? He laid hands on every one of them and healed them. If you want to kind of understand the basis of Jesus doing these miracles and healing people, let's go back to the book of Matthew chapter 8. The wonderful verse in Matthew chapter 8 lets us know on what basis Jesus was doing all these things. We'll start in Matthew 8, verse 14. And when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying and sick of a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her. You see, even a fever was unacceptable to Jesus, and he just touched her, and it was gone. And she arose and ministered unto him. When the evening was come, they brought unto him, him is Jesus Christ, many that were possessed with demons. Now again, the word possessed in the Greek is daimonizomai. Yes, it means possessed, but it also means to be under the influence or attack of a demon. A Christian cannot be demon possessed, but they can be demonized. Absolutely true. Okay. Which means to be under influence or attack of a demon, and you can give Satan legal rights in your life to harass you and have a place. But we're not going to get so much into that today, but look that up yourself. And he cast out the spirits with his word. Okay. Casting out those demons again. Healed all that were sick. How many? All. Okay. Why? Here it is, verse 17. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. You can look it up later, Isaiah 53:4, saying, again, in other words, Jesus was doing what the Old Testament said he would do. That's why you got to read the Old Testament too, okay? He himself, that's Jesus Christ, took our infirmities, which includes our personal weaknesses and distresses, and bore our sicknesses, which includes our pains and diseases. So even before he went to the whipping post and the cross, you might say on credit, Jesus was going ahead and healing everyone and casting out demons, because the Bible says he would not only bring salvation as far as being born again, but he brought deliverance and healing to his people. Do you understand that? I'm trying to build your faith. Remember, the Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Matthew 9:35, and Jesus went about all cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Okay, that makes sense. And notice, he went about all the cities and villages. These are one of these verses where God is saying, I'm not going to tell you everything Jesus did, but let me tell you what he did everywhere he went. That's here in verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages. Everywhere he went, what did he do? Teaching in their synagogues, makes sense. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom, makes sense. But also, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Is that not exciting? Yes. So does Jesus want you well? Yes. He proved it throughout his entire ministry. Now, even Peter, looking back to what Jesus accomplished and revealed here in the book of Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, or Holy Spirit and power, and notice this, who went about doing good. That makes sense. Of course Jesus did good, but don't stop there. And healing all. You like that word all, don't you? I love that word all. And healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Oh, God seems to think in his word that sickness is oppression of the devil. And you better believe it is. Okay. So, read it again. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth the Holy Spirit. Do you know you have the Holy Spirit if you're a Christian? And with power? Well, if you have the Holy Spirit, he's in control, you got power too. Okay. Who went about doing good. Do you think Christians are supposed to do good? Of course you know that. But duh. That's Christianity 101. But that's not it. And healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Is God with you? Well, of course he is. I'm born again. Jesus lives in my heart. I have the Holy Spirit. You got it. That's why you're supposed to do Jesus' works and greater works, because he's in you and working through you. But we're just establishing the fact that even from the book of Acts, Peter is saying, Jesus doing what he did, he was healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And you know God doesn't want the devil to have anything in your life messing you around, right? Okay. Then let's also go to 1 John 3:8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. We need to preach on that someday, but we're going to the second part today. For this purpose, the Son of God, who's the Son of God? Jesus Christ, was manifest. Why? that he might destroy the works of the devil. So, John is telling us, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, this deliverance, healing ministry that Jesus did everywhere he went was destroying the works of the devil. And would we agree that God doesn't want any works of the devil to be in any one of us? That he wants those things to be gone and they got rid of? You better believe it. You know, as we think of healing, some people think, well, it ended with Jesus and the apostles, but you don't get around much, and you don't believe the word of God. Notice even in the book of James, chapter 5, it was never, ever supposed to leave the church. James 5:13, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Do you see that? Okay. Oh, too bad. Take a couple aspirin and call the doctor in the morning. Okay. No, that's not what it says. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him. Of course, that can be her too. Anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Notice, here it is. And the prayer of faith. Are we supposed to pray by faith? Are we supposed to have faith every time we pray? Well, that just makes sense, doesn't it? Do you think you're ever supposed to pray in unbelief? I don't think so. That'd be sin, right? Okay. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. Yes, Jesus is the healer. You don't know anything. Jesus is the healer, but he works through people. People of faith, anointing sick people with oil, using the name of Jesus, and Jesus heals them. Duh. Okay. That sounds like a wonderful plan. That's God's plan. Let me read it again. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Okay. Not just physical, spiritual restoration. Here's verse 16. We don't practice this very much, do we? Confess your faults one to another. Here it is. And pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So we're supposed to pray the prayer of faith. You can go before the elders of the church, have them anoint you with oil, and Jesus wants and will heal you. Because here it is, a couple, three side notes, scriptures. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus has not changed. He will never change. Everything he did in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he's still doing today. In fact, even in the Old Testament, talking about Father God, Malachi 3:6. Remember the last book in the Old Testament? For I am the Lord, I change not. God doesn't need to change. He's perfect. And who he is who he will always be. Let that build some faith in you. And also the wonderful scripture we don't talk about very much and found in Romans chapter 2, verse 11. For there is no respect of persons with God. If he'll do it for one person, he'll do it for another, because God is not a respecter of persons. Let that build some faith in you. And even looking in the book of 1 Peter back to what Jesus accomplished on the cross, notice in 1 Peter chapter 2, we'll start verse 21. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Verse 24. Who his own self, that's talking about our wonderful Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, bore our sins. Put your name on the blank. Oh, thank you. Bore our sins in his own body on the tree. You know, that's the cross, right? That we being dead to sins, remember you identify yourself with Jesus, when you get saved, his victory becomes yours. Being dead to sins, we should live into righteousness. In other words, every Christian should live righteously. And here's some very exciting truth. By whose stripes ye were healed. Were means past tense. it looks back to the cross. You were healed. Remember, Isaiah says we are healed. Peter says you were healed. And the price has already been paid by Jesus for your sins, iniquities, transgressions, for you to be saved, delivered, healed, made whole. Jesus has already paid for it. He's already said yes, but he expects you by faith to appropriate what he did on the cross for you, just like getting saved. Yes, did he die for every person's sins? Is everyone saved? No. Oh, it's not automatic, is it? No, you, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, have to repent of your sins and receive Jesus as Savior and Lord. Even though it's available to all, not all receive the provision. Same way with healing and deliverance. Even though it's provided for all, not everyone knows about it. Sometimes it's just ignorance. But not only everyone takes advantage of what's being provided freely through what Jesus did at that whipping post, remember, stripes, and on the cross, his blood. Oh, that is so exciting. So you need to be understand. But Jesus said, John tells us there could be a hindrance. Is your soul prospering? Okay. You know, if you're upset all the time and up in the air and not walking in faith, do you know that does affect your body? Do you understand that? You know, people who are worrying and fretting and fearful, you know, sometimes they get ulcers, don't they? They get upset stomachs. They can get diarrhea. There's all sorts of sickness and disease that come to people who are not walking by faith in Jesus. And then there's just because you may be doing everything right. Remember Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, the whole armor of God, holding up the shield of faith that you might be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Do you know fiery darts can be sickness, disease, and pain, an attack of Satan upon your spirit, man, soul, or body? Do you know the devil does that, don't you? And you got to hold up the shield of faith. And if a dart gets in, you got to pray for healing and get that sucker out of there, right? Because by his stripes ye were healed. And the truth is, are you determined to walk in this truth? Lord, I not only am being healed right now, teach me how to walk in divine health and wholeness. And remember, everyone gets attacked. I don't care how wonderful and awesome you are, Satan tries some way to get in and bring sickness, disease, and pain to you. But remember, he's the thief. Jesus said, John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. So I'm not putting you on a guilt trip if you're sick, going through disease or pain. I get attacked, but I recognize, no, Lord Jesus, you're my healer. You want me to be healed. And you cry out to Jesus. You command the sickness and disease to be gone in Jesus' name. Sometimes you enlist the help of others. Sometimes you might need to go in front of the church and get anointed with oil. But you just need to understand, Jesus has already paid with his stripes for you to be healed, delivered, set free through his stripes and his precious blood. He already says yes. He's already paid for it, but you have to enter in by faith and then walk it out. But again, the greatest miracle is what? Being born again. Jesus is coming soon. You don't want to be left behind. Pray with me right now if you want to be saved. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I believe and understand that Jesus Christ died for my sins and rose again. I'm coming to you, Jesus. I repent of all my sins. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart and life and to be my Savior and Lord of my life. I give myself to you completely, both now and forever. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast of Exceedingly Abundant Ministries in cooperation with Bethel Worship Center of Joplin, Missouri. Bethel Worship Center is located at 3125 West 20th Street in Joplin. Weekly service times are Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and a Wednesday evening Bible study at 6:30 p.m. For more information, visit their website at betheljoplin.org or send an email to Pastor Gary. His email is garykulp@yahoo.com. Please join them again next week as they continue to expound on God's truth in a relevant and practical way.